As I have been giving a series of talks on guru issues related to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, I thought I should speak on a resolution made by the Governing Body Commission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness at its recent Annual General Meeting 2024. One of the resolutions published from that meeting goes as follows. As taught by Srila Prabhupada, the etiquette of not initiating in the presence of one's Diksha Guru will be upheld in ISKCON. However, historical precedents also teach us that disciples may sometimes, in exceptional cases, initiate in the physical presence of their Diksha Gurus. Optional conditions that may be applied in an individual case per a two-thirds vote of the GBC. When the candidate takes up the service of Diksha Guru, he will only be able to initiate in a specific area or areas. The number of disciples the new Diksha Guru may initiate can be limited by the GBC. This all seems rather strange to me. First of all, because the first sentence says that the etiquette of not initiating in the presence of one's Diksha Guru will be upheld in ISKCON. And then the next sentence says that, well, actually, not always. It's not going to be upheld fully. It's upheld, but not upheld. Another thing, it says, it doesn't say exactly that devotees may initiate. It just says that historical precedents also teach us. Another reason it seems strange is because it's already been going on for quite a few years, and although optional conditions that may be applied have been mentioned, those optional conditions have not been applied to those who are already initiating in the presence of their gurus. It also seems strange that such bureaucratic or institutional limitations can be put on someone only initiated in a specific area. Sounds a bit like the all zonal gurus. And the number of initiates can be limited. What's going on here? Guru means the flow of mercy of Krishna coming through the disciplic succession is being carried, and that devotee is imparting that. And how can you limit it in a specific area? If that spiritual need of someone to approach someone for initiation is there, then how can it be limited to a certain number or a certain area? Interestingly, the service of Diksha Guru, when the candidate takes up the service of Diksha Guru, he will only be able to initiate in a specific area. Notice the word he there, not qualified by he or she. That's another point. It is this idea of initiating in the presence of one's guru has been pointed out. The etiquette of not initiating in the presence of one's Diksha Guru will be upheld in ISKCON. This is taught by Srila Prabhupada. It's an etiquette, and Srila Prabhupada took it as more than an etiquette. He mentioned that, but he called it the law of disciplic succession. And until fairly recently, it was just not even considered within ISKCON that a disciple could initiate in the presence of his own guru. It just wasn't there. It just wasn't considered. It's a big change. which is going to have ramifications into the whole future of ISKCON. Again, it's already going on. It wasn't considered by the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as we shall hear in an upcoming quote from Srila Prabhupada. The GBC resolution speaks about exceptional cases. Who are those exceptional cases that we need to make changes for? It seems rather that it's perceived that there is a need for many gurus, considering that there are people coming forward for initiation all over the world. There's a relatively small number of initiating gurus. Srila Prabhupada wanted all of his disciples to initiate. Few stepped forward. And we have the situation where we have gurus with many, many disciples, and many of the disciples don't have any specific personal direct contact with their gurus. So it's considered, okay, let's open it up. And although this resolution speaks about exceptional cases, there are gurus in our movement who are promoting on the basis, I believe, of previous GBC resolution that anyone who gets the minimum qualification required, Bhakti Vaibhava, they've been initiated without having fallen down for X number of years, they can initiate. So some, at least I know one major initiator in our movement is very much promoting that his disciples, go on, go ahead, get your qualification, start initiating. So on the one hand, we're talking about exceptional cases. On the other hand, we have others who are pushing forward many, many. Now, we do want many gurus. That's a fact. We want everyone should be a guru. Every Vaishnava should help others to come forward. We're talking about taking the very heavy role of initiating guru. That may not be the role for every Vaishnava to initiate, but every Vaishnava should be a guru, and every real Vaishnava is a guru in as much as they teach by their example, they tell others about Krishna. So in that sense, in a very loose sense, everyone is a guru. Jare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh amaragya guru hoyataro edesh. By speaking to others about Krishna, one becomes a guru and delivers the whole area he's living in. It is required that there be more gurus. The idea we have local gurus and more localized so that they can actually interact personally with their disciples, which hasn't always been the case historically. Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, for instance, they initiated widely, many, many disciples. They didn't personally train, but they were unable to personally train, both because of numbers and being widespread. So the idea is that, well, we do need more gurus, so let's not wait until the present initiators pass away, which is the etiquette, which Srila Prabhupada said, which we're going to get some quotes. But the idea is that, well, we can't wait. Let's go ahead and give others the role of initiating. As I say, this is going to make a big change. We're not sure what kind of ramifications this is going to have. We could have just waited, because anyway, most of Srila Prabhupada's disciples are going to be passing away soon. They won't be present with us. And then automatically, their disciples, those who are qualified among them, maybe some of them are not qualified also, will step forward and take this role. Srila Prabhupada did, early in his ministration in the West, speak about having disciples initiating in his presence, or they presumed it would be in his presence. Famous letter, maybe by 1975, Srila Prabhupada wrote in 1968, maybe by 1975, all of my disciples will be allowed to initiate and increase the numbers of the generations. That is my program. Same thing, just a few days later, just over a month later, in another letter, Srila Prabhupada wrote, by 1975, all of those who have passed all of the above examinations, Srila Prabhupada was referring to Bhakti Shastra and other examinations, those who have passed will be specifically empowered to initiate and increase the number of the Krishna conscious population. However, even prior to writing both of these letters, Srila Prabhupada wrote another letter that the etiquette is that so long the spiritual master is present, all prospective disciples should be brought to him. This was a letter to Achyutananda and Jai Govinda in India. Srila Prabhupada was in the West. And people had approached Achyutananda Prabhu for asking for initiation. And Prabhupada said, yes, great, that's what we're looking for. But as long as the spiritual master is present, all prospective disciples should be brought to him. To a prospective devotee in 1971, Srila Prabhupada wrote, so far you're taking initiation from Brahmananda Maharaj, I have no objection. But it is the etiquette that in the presence of one's spiritual master, one does not accept disciples. Again, in a conversation in 1971, Srila Prabhupada said, whoever is initiated is competent to make disciples, but as a matter of etiquette, they do not do so in the presence of their spiritual master. Whoever is initiated is competent to make disciples. That is the minimum qualification. Of course, it's expected that one would be ideal, that's stated elsewhere, but that's the minimum qualification. It's something like the child, simply by being the child of the father, he eventually comes to the point when he can have his own children. So when you become a spiritual child, then, especially when one has had sufficient training and experience, he's competent to make disciples. But in the spiritual realm, Srila Prabhupada writes, as a matter of etiquette, one should not initiate in the presence of their spiritual master. In a lecture in 1975, Srila Prabhupada stated, during the lifetime of our Guru Maharaj, all of our God brothers now who are acting as acharya, they did not do so. That is not the etiquette. Acharya mang vijani yang navamanyeta karhichit. Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse that one should never insult the guru, and gave the idea by quoting this that by initiating in the presence of one's own guru, it is insulting to the guru. So Srila Prabhupada said, continuing what Srila Prabhupada said in this lecture, if you insult your acharya, then you are finished. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati katopi, finished. If you displease your acharya, then you are finished. When Srila Prabhupada was informed that devotees in South America were chanting Jai Gaurasundara and Jai Siddhasarup in Kirtan, and they were only distributing one book that was in Brazil in Portuguese, a book by Siddhasarup Goswami, not Srila Prabhupada's book. Srila Prabhupada was not condemnatory. He simply commented in a letter, there is no harm in giving jai to Vaishnavas, provided they follow the Vaishnava principles. Because someone was writing to Srila Prabhupada, a devotee was writing, hey, look, what's going on? They're treating this Gaurasundara and Siddhasarup like gurus. Prabhupada said, there's no harm in saying jai to them. if they follow the Vaishnava principles. To glorify Vaishnavas is not bad, Srila Prabhupada wrote. Srila Prabhupada said, but they should not attempt like that in the presence of their spiritual master. That is not good. So much adulation, just like a guru, not even here speaking about initiating, but even to adulate them so much in the presence of their own guru, Srila Prabhupada says, that is not good. Similarly, in a letter in 1974 to Hansa Dutta, who was being practically worshipped by many of his godbrothers, actually. They kept his picture on the altar and really treated him just like a guru. So Srila Prabhupada wrote to him, I have heard that there is some worship of yourself by the other devotees. Of course, it is proper to offer obeisances to a Vaishnava, but not in the presence of the spiritual master. After the departure of the spiritual master, it will come to that stage, but now wait, otherwise it will create factions. Srila Prabhupada said, it's proper to offer obeisances to a Vaishnava, but not in the presence of the spiritual master. Of course, we do offer obeisances to Vaishnavas in the presence of the spiritual master, but here the context is offering obeisances to them to the level of worship. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada also stated in a lecture, we have to follow the Acharya. Then when we are completely 100% follower of the Acharya, then you can also act as an Acharya. This is the process. Don't become a premature Acharya. First of all, follow the orders of the Acharya and become mature. Then it is better to become an Acharya, because we are interested in preparing Acharyas, but the etiquette is, at least for the period the Guru is present, one should not become an Acharya. Even if he is complete, he should not, because the etiquette is, if somebody comes for becoming initiated, it is the duty of such a person to bring that prospective candidate to his Acharya. Not that, now people are coming to me, so I can become an Acharya. That is avamanya. Navamanyeta karhichit. Don't transgress this etiquette. Navamanyeta. That will be fall down. We are interested in preparing Acharyas, but the etiquette is, at least for the period is the Guru is present, one should not become an Acharya. Even if he is complete, he should not, because the etiquette is, if somebody comes for becoming initiated, it is the duty of such a person to bring that prospective candidate to his Acharya. Not that, now people are coming to me, so I can become an Acharya. That is avamanya. Navamanyeta karhichit. Don't transgress this etiquette. Navamanyeta, that will be fall down. This is from a talk that Srila Prabhupada gave in 1975. Similarly, in 1975, Srila Prabhupada wrote to a sannyasi disciple of his, who was also very interested, it seems, in being a guru in the presence of his own guru. Srila Prabhupada wrote to him, keep trained up very rigidly and then you are a bona fide guru and you can accept disciples on the same principle. But as a matter of etiquette, it is the custom that during the lifetime of your spiritual master, you bring the prospective disciples to him and in his absence or disappearance, you can accept disciples without any limitation. This is the law of disciplic succession. That's a very strong statement. The law of disciplic succession. Srila Prabhupada, in the same letter, just in the previous sentence, has stated it's a custom. And elsewhere he talks about it being, here also, as etiquette. But he stresses it very strongly, and it has been the norm in the presence of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, in the presence of all of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada passed away, they would initiate many of them initiated, but then those who were initiating, many of them had many disciples, but their disciples would not consider, it was just not a question that they would initiate in the presence of their guru. They may be very successful preachers, charismatic, learned, people may want to take initiation from them, but they wouldn't do so. In fact, there was a charismatic, highly successful sannyasi preacher, disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who Saraswati Thakur became very upset with him because he was making disciples, bringing people to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati for initiation, but practically treating those he was bringing, they would treat him as guru and he would reciprocate like that. Now, we do find in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam in relation to Prahlad Maharaj that he treated his senior godbrothers, this is the way Srila Prabhupada translates it, just like his gurus. So that's there also, but there seems to be a limit to how much you take that, just like it's become, in India at least, common that temple presidents and others, they have a virtual Vyasa Puja on their birthday. This seems to be going, temple presidents and others in whose gurus are still present, they have a big festival and with glorification, just like a Vyasa Puja. This seems to be transgressing the etiquette according to what Srila Prabhupada has stated. Again, I'm reading, because Prabhupada stressed this again and again and again. This is from a room conversation in 1976. Every one of you should become a guru, but why an immature attempt? That is my question. Everyone will become guru when he is an expert disciple, but why this immature attempt? Guru is not a thing for imitation. When one is mature, he becomes a guru automatically. What is the answer to this? They're making some attempt to become a guru. I'm training you all to become gurus in the future. Now the Krishna consciousness movement, the properties and everything, I will not take with me. They will remain where they are. It requires very mature treatment. But there has been some attempt to become guru immediately. We are also acting as guru. My other godbrothers are also doing that. But we never attempted during the lifetime of our Guru Maharaj. That is not the etiquette. Then, in a late conversation, when Srila Prabhupada was enacting the pastime of being very sick, this was in April 1977, Srila Prabhupada gave a hint of disciples initiating in his presence. Yes, I shall choose some guru. I shall say, now you become acharya, you become authorized. I am waiting for that. You all become acharyas. I retire completely, but the training must be complete. So Srila Prabhupada is very strong on that, but as the GBC resolution notes, and there have been GBC resolutions about this before, that in our Vaishnav history, Gauriya and other sampradayas, there have been disciples initiating in the presence of their own gurus. And in fact, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it discusses a ceremony for anointing or inaugurating a disciple as a guru. And there are statements such as, when one is in the presence of both one's guru and his guru, then deference should be given to the guru's guru. So it is there in the tradition. We see in Rasik Mangal by Sri Gopijana Vallabha, a disciple of Rasik Murari, Rasikendra, Rasikananda, a great devotee, disciple of Shyamananda, that Rasikananda himself, Damodar, and others who were disciples of Shyamananda initiated in his presence. We also find there's a statement that in that Rasik Mangal, that Rasikendra ordered his godbrothers to prepare a list of their disciples and the disciples of their disciples. And in Jaiva Dharma, chapter 1, we find Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describing a guru taking his disciple to meet his own guru. That means his disciple's param guru. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ordered Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his own presence to give mantras, initiation mantras, to certain devotees. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was initiating. He was also in the presence of his own initiating guru and Sri Vipin Bihari Goswami, and also Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who he treated as his substantial Shiksha Guru. So he was initiating. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was initiating in the presence of his own guru, and he had Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati initiate in the presence of himself and in the presence of Gaurakishore Das Babaji. In the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can be a greater guru than him? He wasn't officially initiating, but others were initiating. Pundarik Vidyanidhi initiated Gadadha Pandit, and other associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had initiated disciples in his presence. Also Bhaktivinoda had his very young, physically young, disciple Krishna Das Babaji give mantras, mantra initiation, in his very presence. The traditional system, which is approved through the sadhu and the shastras, is that a disciple can be appointed to the post of guru, to the position of guru, by the guru himself, not by a GBC body. Of course, we didn't have such GBC bodies, although there were looser institutions, just like we have the whole Madhva Sampradaya. It's still one institution, very clearly defined, the Madhva Sampradaya. It's not officially one institution, but loosely, but it's up to each individual guru to choose his own successors, which they do. What we have going on in the Madhva Sampradaya, where they have sannyasis, and the Shankara Sampradaya, is that you'll have the incumbent head of the mat, sannyasi, guru, and then he will have his successor already lined up, inducted, so that when the present guru passes away, the next one will come in, and then there'll be two generations. There'll be one who is younger, and especially as the head of the mat becomes quite old, then there'll be even a younger one. So it's not initiating in the presence of the guru, but already being trained to be guru. And it's actually in that sense a good system, because everyone knows he's going to be. He's not treated fully as guru, but he is trained for that role, so that it's not just something sudden that happens. It becomes a very smooth process of transition. On-the-job training, you can see. That wasn't the system in the Gauriya Math. Or in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada was quite strict about this. He, as we've seen, he was very strong. Don't initiate in the presence of your guru. What to speak of not initiating in the presence of your guru? There are many devotees whose guru has passed on, but who are reluctant to initiate as long as there are disciples of Srila Prabhupada still present, because they feel it's presumptuous to do so, that then I have to take the honor and the respect on the level of my gurus, my gurus' godbrothers. And there are others who are quite bold and happy to do so, but at least according to what Srila Prabhupada said, they shouldn't be so bold. I see that some of my disciples, they're quite qualified, they're practically acting as gurus in many ways. In many ways, I'd be happy to see them initiating, and you could say they can live up to their potential, but there is the law of disciplic succession. Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples, especially his sannyasis, to have 10,000 disciples. I've initiated about 4,000. It's a matter of numbers or what? But the idea is that Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples to initiate widely. So it's, on one hand, we have the tradition in which it was going on, but then even though Bhaktisthan Sahasrara Thakur initiated in the presence of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, on the order of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he himself was very clear not to initiate in his own presence. And that has been upheld. So we're going into another era. It's already started. Let's see how it works out. Considering this law of disciplic succession, which Srila Prabhupada speaks about, I would prefer to see some reservations or some hesitancy to come forward and do this as a matter of etiquette, which Srila Prabhupada stressed so much. Of course, expanding the preaching requires many gurus, but there is this question of etiquette also. So it's somewhat of a dichotomy. Anyway, it's allowed by the GBC. It's already going on. It will go on. And how will it pan out? We'll have to see in future. But we'll have to see in future. Ultimately, if those who are initiating are sincere and doing it out of a sense of service, that I have to do this, this is what my guru wants, this is what Krishna wants, this is what the Vaishnava wants, let me do it as a humble service to all the Vaishnavas, then the mercy of Krishna will come through to them. On the other hand, if by opening this up widely, then we encourage devotees who are ambitious to expand with some egoism and desire for name and fame, then even having a Bhakti Shastra degree or Bhakti Vaibhav degree, that doesn't remove the desire for name and fame from the heart. I plan to speak about this more. Upcoming gurus, it's a big thing. We're in a transitional stage. There was a transitional stage after Srila Prabhupada left, and we're really in that transitional stage still. But at the same time, that transitional stage is morphing into another transitional stage as Srila Prabhupada's disciples are passing away. And new gurus are coming up, and we can expect many, many more, because there are many more devotees than there were when Srila Prabhupada passed away. And so probably we can expect many of them to initiate. So the whole guru ethos within ISKCON is going to be changed. The mystique of being a Srila Prabhupada disciple, whatever of that is left, that's not going to be there for the next generation. Anyway, I plan to speak about this more. It's not such a small thing to take the role of a guru, non-different from Krishna, in the eyes of the disciple. It should be taken very, very carefully and seriously. I'm not saying that the GBC resolution is undermining that, but I'm just discussing some of the considerations. On the one hand, we need many gurus. On the other hand, Srila Prabhupada said he was very strong about this etiquette. He called it the law of disciplic succession. We have in the past, that has been there, but we also had in the past a very strong Vaishnava culture, deep training in Shastra, simply creating more devotees in the role of guru doesn't make them gurus in the fully spiritual sense. What is really needed is so much training, dedication, surrender. One who is an actual guru by his qualifications will serve very well as a guru. One who is not will struggle, and creating many who struggle is not going to be auspicious for the future. Just some thoughts. We should think. Brahmanas should be thoughtful. May Krishna bless all the devotees. We're all disciples ultimately. Every Vaishnava is a guru. Who is a guru? Who considers himself a disciple? We're all followers. We're all small. Let us pray for the mercy to always remember how small we are, and at the same time be ready to take the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on our heads to take this great gift of Krishna consciousness and give it to others who, upon receiving this gift, should, according to the etiquette, see the one who is giving it as good as God. If this talk seems inconclusive, well, I want to follow it up with another talk about how those who are taking up the service of Guru may conduct themselves. And I hope that will clarify matters. Vancha kalpa thirubhyas chakripa sindhubhi evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Dante nithaya chunakam padeyo nipatya kritva chakaka shata meta namam pravene. He sadhava sakra eva vihaya durad goranga chandra charne guru dhanu rana. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu makarona vayam vicharyama. Hari rasa madhira. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.